Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this December 1st, 2022. 10:31 on the clock. Have your host, James, here. And we are joined right now by Allison Jonjack, Cranberry Outreach Specialist with the University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension, Wood County. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning. Good to hear from you today.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty wonderful. The weather has settled in, and life feels nice. Looking forward to the rest of December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially it's going to look a little like this or something. And certainly, you know, the weather plays a big part in, of course, our farming industry and certainly cranberry industry. So not a bad segue. Nicely done, Allison. That's I want to dive right into the research here. Now, there's been some new research, some conclusions from the research that has come up recently. What is the specific research and where did it come from?
So we actually do a lot of work at UW-Madison that's basically always being done on cranberries. We are one of, along with Massachusetts, New Jersey, Quebec, and then a little bit in the Pacific Northwest, we're one of the major growing regions. We're the largest growing region by barrels of production, and I believe by acres as well. And so at the UW, University of Wisconsin-Madison, at any given time, we have entomologists working on entomology research. We have physiologists working on physiology research. We've got pathologists working on disease prevention and a geneticist who's working on developing improved varieties. We've got a molecular biologist who helps out our plant physiologist working on nutrient availability, as well as how the plants grow. And so there's a lot going on all the time. I guess one that I'd like to focus on that we are, I guess, going in with the weather segue, our molecular biologist is Joshna Devi Mura, and then our plant physiologist is Amaya Atucha. And the two of them have been doing a lot of new research into how the cranberry plant goes dormant after harvest and going into the winter, and then how it emerges from dormancy after the winter. And so that's kind of a cool research question, how do plants work, but also a directly applicable question for our growers, because as the plants go into dormancy, if the weather changes too abruptly, we can have crop loss or we can have damage due to frost. And so we the growers want to have their irrigation systems ready. They want to be able to know if the temperature drops, by how big of a drop do I need to protect my crop, and that both for the fall and for the spring. And then that changes, you know, variety by variety. If you think of a Granny Smith apple, has different growing requirements from a Northern Spy apple, has different requirements from a Honeycrisp. And so some of these newer varieties, we've been treating them very conservatively, and we want to find out what are their actual bounds, so that we can grow them most efficiently. So that's just one example of some of the cool stuff that's being worked on.
It's an incredibly cool example to bring up. Yeah, it's just fascinating to me, and it's an industry that I learn more about the more I get to talk to people like yourself. And Allison, when it comes to, because we all understand Mother Nature is queen. We can't defeat Mother Nature. We just do whatever she, you know, we work around her or do what she tells us to do, basically. But with our farming industry, with our ag industry and these crops, we're finding ways to work with her, to work with nature, to work around nature in some ways, but mostly to work with it and work with the times. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to me to think that an industry that's been around so long, that has done such good work for so very long, you can find even more ways to not only improve the product, but to literally grow the product, grow the industry.
Yes. It's really neat to me, and I think the most effective ways of growing crops, like you say, or working with nature. And I like to think of kind of the same setup. If you're prepared, opportunities happen more often. But if you, focus on your soil health and maintain strong, robust and healthy cranberry vines, they are able to weather the storms that Mother Nature will throw at you better. But even just for things like frost protection, Historically, we've always been, you know, very conservative, and that just means waking up more often than not in order to turn on the irrigation for frost protection. And as we understand more and more, we can do a better job of finding out how much were we kind of overreacting, or how much were we helicopter parenting those cranberries versus how much can they actually take just on their own without any intervention. So finding the sweet spot that gets us the best production with the least number of lost nights of sleep.
Yes, yes. Spectrum News One recently interviewed about the cranberry crops rebounding after a 2021 harvest, and Tom Lochner, a grower, had this quote: It seems the crop here in Wisconsin has rebounded from a rather disappointing crop last year. We're expecting an average crop, which will be about 520 million pounds of fruit for Wisconsin. Lochner said that that's because the weather was much better to growers than last year in 2021. He continues, as one grower told me, it's 85% of what happens out here is due to Mother Nature, and what growers can do is manage the other 15%. That's a very small window, and a really tough kind of, just from an outsider looking in, not an easy thing to swing, especially when you have something as unpredictable as Mother Nature to work with. So it all the more adds to that research that you guys are talking about.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we were glad to see the crop improve this year after last year. We had been really worried because one of the most unpredictable things Mother Nature can do is send hail, and we had hail really early in the year in May of 2022, and so there was a lot of concern that we might have lost to that hail, just like the physical damage might have damaged our buds or dropped our buds or the future blossoms, but we wound up recovering from that better than people expected, so that was very heartening.
Yeah, it's a good story of the day right there, hearing that. And it wasn't, to be honest with you, it wasn't something that I had heard until this weekend when I was doing a little homework on for the interview here and came across this article. I find it really encouraging and hopeful to read something like that.
Yes.
We're very glad. You mentioned the research and everything. What about the research roundtable?
So this is one of the coolest parts of my job as cranberry outreach specialist. I'm keeping that type feedback loop between the growers who have questions and are facing challenges and, you know, hope for answers in order to help them do their jobs better, and then the researchers whose job is to understand, you know, the basics of nature, the basics of the plant, and how that can help growers. So my role is to help the researchers choose research projects that are going to be directly beneficial to the growers. And then also to, once the researchers have gotten those results, it's part of my job to help the growers understand and implement those results. And so one of the things that I, and the Cranberry Growers Association is a really strong tool that the growers use to interact with their university counterparts. So this existed even before I took this job, but I like to think that I've been making it better and more exciting, and we've had increased attendance and I like to hope improved the direction of the research projects. Mm-hmm. But after harvest each year, so harvest is usually finishing up by mid-October and give people a couple of, maybe a week to catch their breath and put their hat back on. And in mid-November, we host a gathering, and these used to be hosted in Madison and all the growers had to drive down, but we now have them hosted at the Cranberry Research Station in Black River Falls. So both growers and researchers travel, and we're right on a marsh where we also have an 85-person classroom set up. So having all the growers who are interested, along with all the researchers and their grad students, come and talk about what did we see this year, what did we face, what questions did I have that I think are an answerable question, but that we don't right now have the answer to. And so this is where, 2 years ago we heard the question of, I think I'm being too conservative on my frost protection in the spring and in the fall. What can the plant actually handle? And so Dr. Atucha and Dr. Mura, heard that question and wrote a grant proposal to study cranberry vines coming into and out of dormancy. And so now we're getting those answers to deliver. So similarly, this year we had a lot of discussion about we've, I guess, one of the things that was a new insect pest called the blunt-nosed leafhopper, which vectors an incurable phytoplasma disease. So we had a lot of discussion about how to work on, how to prevent and protect ourselves against that insect. We had discussion about how cranberries manage dissolved water or dissolved oxygen in the water when they're under flood conditions. I'm just kind of looking over my my results of my poll at the end, because we broke up into groups and talked about what's most important and came up with priorities that the growers want the researchers to focus on.
It's a really cool idea, and I have to say right away, not only do I think and feel very confident saying that you're doing a great job and you're doing those things that you're hoping for there with the group and everything, but just as importantly, the idea that we're building this bridge more and more between science and the farmers, between your information and you guys at Extension and our ag industry, all these, the more conversation that's going on, the more shared information can only be the better for literally everybody.
Absolutely. That's having tight feedback loops is something that, it helps us direct our research. It helps us implement our research. It helps everybody get better together as an industry, faster and stronger.
We're speaking with Alisa Johnjack, cranberry outreach specialist with UW Extension, and Allison, we're going to talk about recipes in just a little bit. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the 2022 harvest, all that coming up for it and more on Morning Magazine right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here for this December 1st, 2022. I have your host, James, and we are joined by Allison Johnjack, cranberry outreach specialist with UW Extension. And thanks again for being here, Allison.
Very glad to.
I do want to apologize to you, Allison. I called you Elise earlier, Elise, because we just had Elise on earlier. For going forward here, no more of these people with names that are too similar to back to back interviews. We got to do something about that.
You can call me Don Jack, and I'll roll with that.
Appreciate you. I want to get into the recipes thing. I'm looking forward to that. But before we do, I did see a recent article the other day about state cranberry growers expecting to produce more fruits in 2022. The USDA released its latest cranberry production estimates during Thanksgiving week, which noted that the Wisconsin growers harvested 4.3 million barrels in 2022. That is 3% more than last year's harvest, even due to the colder weather and reports of hail damage that you touched on earlier. The total U.S. cranberry harvest is projected to be around 7.44 million barrels, although that was done that number was before Thanksgiving, may have gone down a little bit now or gone up. Who knows? I'm just kidding about that. But it is encouraging to see this information, Allison.
Yes, we're very grateful. And, as you alluded, there are what sounds to a bystander like 3% down. That's not that much. But 2021 was, demoralizing for growers. We felt like we had put in a lot of strong effort, and weather just didn't warm up our days enough for us. Didn't get us enough accumulated time to size up the fruit, and so we produced less than we wanted to in 2021. 2022 is better again. We had the ability to fill out our fruit in that late summer period. We did actually find across a lot of the central part of the state, some growers had, what would have been a pretty significantly large crop in terms of number of berries, but only 80% of those berries sized up like normal. And so we had several small berries, which are, still, of course, just as good for cranberry sauce and just as good for juice. And they colored up well, and they still had good anthocyanin content, and anthocyanins are the antioxidants or the cancer preventing elements in cranberries. They still came out to good quality, but we were surprised by the smallness, and so we wondered if our pollinators got distracted, or we're still trying to figure out what the cause for that was. But even with that, we did have a very strong crop this year. We're sitting right at our average or what we expect to produce.
You know, you mentioned a new insect issue, and you mentioned that right there. And I think on average, most of us at the top of our head can imagine some of the difficulties the cranberry growers face. So it's really helpful, I think, talking about these things and getting it to be a little bit more in the ether, in the common knowledge kind of thing. It helps us understand a little bit more of the industry and maybe be a little more supportive of the industry. If not to say we're not already, but can always use a little bit more.
I agree. Yeah, I think in general, when people understand how many factors a farmer is paying attention to on a day-to-day basis, you can start to have an appreciation. A lot of people will drive by a farm and say, oh, that looks very peaceful and relaxing, unaware that the person in the tractor cab or the person holding the insect sweep net is actually, thinking at the very fastest they can think and trying to come up with solutions to all these problems that you just don't notice exist as you're just driving by. So there's always a lot going on.
And, I think a lot of people out there can empathize with our growers, with our farmers out there. And there's only, it gets a little daunting because, how can we help? We're not growers. We're not, other than certainly buying cranberries and buying Wisconsin cranberries and Wisconsin products. I think that one of the things that you can do to help is certainly understanding the industry a little more and having a little more empathy towards what it is to be in that industry.
Yes, definitely so. And we're always grateful, too, that the Cranberry Festival in Warrens, there's also a Cranberry Festival in Stone Lake, Wisconsin, and also in Eagle River, people feeling like this is our state, this is our, this is an industry that gives to our state and we can give back to the industry, and feeling connected with it, inviting out-of-town friends up to come to those events and tour cranberry marshes. I guess like a feeling of ownership and mm-hmm. just kind of, Wisconsin pride, because this is something Wisconsin is the top producer in the world of cranberries. We produce more than 60% of the annual cranberry crop, and feeling proud of that and putting cranberries on your table at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but also putting cranberries on your table in February, when you have out of town guests or out of state family members, just saying, hey, yeah, this is Wisconsin. We've got cheese and we've also got cranberries.
And it's all the more reason why not only do we have the Wisconsin Cranberry Research Station, but the importance of that station and how beneficial the information coming from there is.
Yes, very much so. For a long time, there were cranberry research stations in Massachusetts and in New Jersey, even though Wisconsin produced the most cranberries. And everyone's growing conditions are a little bit different, and having research that was done in New Jersey, where they don't have as cold of a winter, so they tend to have a lot of fungal disease issues that we don't have because we have a good, strong winter that kills a lot of fungal spores and bacterial pathogens. So they invested a lot in research that wasn't super super germane to us. And now that we have this research station here in Wisconsin, we can really focus on Wisconsin's biggest issues.
Mm-hmm. Well said. All right, let's have some fun. Allison, let's get into some recipes. I know that was something you wanted to discuss as well.
Awesome. Yeah, so I just, as it wraps into Christmas, I just want to give my my standard favorite Jean-Jacques family cranberry sauce recipe, and that is 1.5 cups of water and 1.5 cups of sugar, and put those on your stove at a simmer and let them turn into a simple syrup, equal parts sugar and water, a cup and a half. And then once those are boiling at kind of a light, just getting bubbles in the surface of the water, then add 4 cups of frozen cranberries. You can also do fresh. My family grows, my parents have a cranberry marsh, and so we just take, 500 pounds that we would otherwise put on the semi-truck and just put them direct in our freezer instead and then use those throughout the year. Take 4 cups of frozen cranberries and put those in on top of your, large saucepan that has this layer of sugar and water boiling, and then reduce the heat down to medium and then let those cook for about 40 minutes without stirring. And the secret is to not stir. And so you reduce the heat. If it looks like it's going to boil over, you can pull the pot off and maybe try a larger pot next time. And then watch them and smell them as they cook. And as they start to turn that deep purple and you just start to smell a hint of caramel, then pull them off. And people have different preferences for whether they like them more tart or more caramely. If you have guests with more of a sweet tooth, cook it for longer and you'll get more and more of the caramel smell. So that's very easy. A cup and a half of sugar, a cup and a half of water, and 4 cups of cranberries. And then I'll let you, I don't know what people's standard uptake, if they're writing recipes down or if you want to ask a question, and I'll talk about the newest cranberry. So that's my first cranberry recipe ever. And then the newest one I just tried this year, I'll also share.
I apologize, Elisa. My professionalism is out the window. My mouth is watering. I'm too hungry. Can you do the rest of the take us right out to the top? Because I can't think. All I can think about is cranberries and how badly I want them. No, that does sound really good. That sounds very good.
No, it's delicious. So the newest one that I had not tried before, it was like a cranberry vanilla coffee cake. And so if you take your standard coffee cake recipe, so it's like, a cup and 3/4 of sugar and 2 cups and a smidge of flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 3/4 teaspoons of salt, and then a stick plus a tablespoon of butter, 2 eggs, and 1/2 cup of whole milk. So kind of in whatever, I know I said that quick, so whatever vanilla coffee cake you like, and you can blitz up some vanilla bean with the sugar to make it vanilla sugar. But then fill the pan halfway with your coffee cake recipe, and then we're going to add this cranberry filling. And so this cranberry filling we'll make by pulsing frozen cranberries again. You can also do fresh, but 2 cups of cranberries with 1/2 cup of vanilla sugar, and pulse them into kind of a, don't take it as far as a paste, but make them like little small bits. And then spread that cranberry and vanilla sugar paste at the top layer of your cake, and then put another half of your cake batter, and then go ahead and bake that. My standard recipe is about 40 minutes in an oven at 350, and I was really pleased with just the very simple, direct, just plain cranberries in the middle of a coffee cake.
Man, does that sound good. Oh, that sounds so good. Is that a go-to for you and your family, making that?
That one's actually new. I have a lot of go-tos. I've got a cranberry cake with caramel sauce. I've got, and then cranberry sauce is just the classic. But I always try and make at least one or two new recipes each year. And when something becomes a winner, maybe it replaces one of the old standards.
Right.
Because you always want to try new things, and entertaining is more fun when you're learning.
It's very well said. You're so right about that. And Allison, one of the things that I really love about cranberries is the versatility of them. There's so much you can do with them. It's why we keep coming up with new, recipes or new ways to incorporate them into our food or our desserts.
Yes.
I did come across one that I haven't gotten to try, but I'm going to be smart about this. I'm going to do this with my mom because she is the actual cook. I can do little loose things like Italian foods and stuff, and that's about it. So I'm going to go to her with this one. It's a cranberry curd. Have you heard of that before?
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, I would like to hear this, though.
It's
like lemon curd, but with cranberries. So that sounds like 2 things that I really love.
Oh, right on. Yes. know your audience. That's what this is about. It is very similar to that. You're absolutely right. It's a cranberry curd in a seasonal spin on the traditional lemon curd. If you prefer a smoother texture, you can press the cranberry mixture through a fine mesh. Otherwise, you can eat it just like you would a normal curd. It's only about 10 minutes. It takes about 10 minutes to prepare, about 20 minutes to cook. You get about 16 to 17 servings out of this, and the ingredients are so simple. It's one 12-ounce bag of fresh cranberries, Wisconsin cranberries, I'll say, a 3/4 cup of water, a 1/2 cup of white sugar, 3 egg yolks, and 2 tablespoons of butter, and a partridge in a pear tree. Not that last part. Not a lot of ingredients it takes to make this, and it's a really simple kind of curd. If you've made curds before, it looks very, very similar to just making how you would make a normal curd.
Okay. That sounds really delicious. It turns out I'm going to try two new recipes.
I think a great way to do this, especially with this an audio medium and everything. If you go into your search bar and you type in cranberry curd, you will probably come across a similar recipe, if not the same recipe that I had. And I would say the same thing about what Allison was suggesting. Otherwise, all of our shows are podcasted, so you can go right to civicmedia.us and go ahead and listen to our podcast. And that way, you can pause and rewind all you need to write these instructions down or any of that kind of thing.
Excellent thought. That's definitely helpful. I was not fast enough to put down how many egg yolks that was. So
yeah, I didn't mean to spin through that as fast as I did. Let me do that one more time. It is a 12-ounce bag of fresh cranberries, 3/4 cup water, 1/2 cup of white sugar, 3 egg yolks, and 2 tablespoons of butter.
All right.
Next time we get together, we got to compare and see how this one turned out.
Happily. I'm looking forward to it.
Allison, we really do enjoy talking with you and all of our friends from Extension. If people have follow-up questions, would like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, can they reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's allison.johnjack, allison.johnjack, at wisc.edu is the fastest way. And then we also put a lot of publications out at fruit.wisc.edu. There's a cranberry crop management journal if people want to get into the brass tacks of agronomy. But otherwise, yeah, I'm happy to field questions anytime.
Always appreciate the time, Allison. Thank you so much. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. And stick around, everybody. We got more great content coming up here at the station. Of course, tomorrow we'll wrap up Morning Magazine for the week. In part one, we'll have State Assembly District 72 Representative Scott Krug. And then in part two, we'll wrap up with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, talk with some of the cast from Miracle on 34th Street here at WFHR, locally grown radio.